This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:37 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and we're moving on to our next story. This actually looks at Malaysians who are waiting to come back home. We heard, I think, reported in our news bulletins about Malaysians in Brunei. I think over across the world, it's not only Malaysians who find themselves in this predicament, of course, with countries increasingly going on lockdown, with travel restrictions kicking in. I think there are lots of people who are trying to return to places. But this comes specifically from a letter that was written by a Malaysian in Nepal, Yowan Sin, who told us about the situation and the difficulties that they're facing to return home. So to recap, the letter described how a group of Malaysians decided to proceed with a trip in March before the MCO for a hike to Everest Base Camp in Nepal. They had been planning it since 2018, and after some deliberation, they chose to go since there were no COVID-19 cases reported there, and they had done due diligence. So once they finished their climb and they reached the camp, they heard about the MCO, and then they registered themselves online with the Malaysian embassy on March 16th. Unfortunately, on their way down, their flight home, originally scheduled on March 29th, was cancelled. So with that in mind, they were planning to make their way back to Kathmandu to reach the embassy to sort things out, only then to find themselves stuck instead in lockdown in a town called Lukla after Nepal reported its second case and declared a nationwide lockdown. So ever since then, they've been stuck in their lodge in freezing weather with unstable electricity and with water, Wi-Fi and phone charging. You have to pay for that. They haven't heard any updates from the embassy, and they're staying in touch with fellow Malaysians stuck in the country via chat groups. As of now, there are apparently 34 Malaysians in Nepal. And as mentioned, sadly, this is not an isolated situation. There are more than 1,000 Malaysians still waiting to return, according to Deputy Foreign Minister Datuk Kamarudin Jaafar. But at least for today, we are going to be talking after this to two of our countrymen who are in Nepal and waiting to return, just to get some first-hand insights into what's actually going on. If you have questions, you can send them through. Earlier on, we spoke about a letter that we received that has since been published, I think, on a couple of sites and a couple of platforms. And it details the difficulties that 34 Malaysians in Nepal are currently facing in trying to return home amidst us being on the MCO, as well as Nepal being on a station-wide lockdown. So when we read the letter, we thought, we need to talk to you guys and just find out what's going on. If you have any questions or any comments that you'd like to offer our countrymen, you can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, we're crossing over to Ravi Joseph and Daniel Pang, two of the 34 Malaysians currently in Nepal awaiting repatriation back to our shores. Ravi, Daniel, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Hi, thank you for having us.
So, okay, firstly, I think we just need to get this up front. You guys are sharing a phone, right, at the moment?
That's correct, yeah. We are on speaker and, yep.
Okay, all right. Just so everybody knew. So many of us have read the letter that we talked about earlier, detailing the situation and the difficulties faced in coming home. Have your experiences pretty much echoed what we heard described in that letter?
I think in terms of experience, it's definitely it's different, because the letter is pretty much an experience from the writer herself. So she was telling her difficulties, how she planned for the trip and everything. So in terms of even starting from the beginning, the planning and everything, each and every one of us, we planned according to our own agenda and everything. So yes, we hiked all together and everything. But the situation here is actually, like what you have mentioned before, the particular writer is actually stuck in Lukla.
Mm.
And Lukla is where the base of the trekking has starts to happen. That's about 2,300 meters above sea level, where the facilities is not so great compared to Kathmandu. And like myself and Daniel, currently we are in Kathmandu. And so her experience, she is facing her difficulties on how she can, in terms of medical facilities there, is not that up to date. Even getting a clean water or charging your phone there or getting Wi-Fi there, everything costs money. And they are running out of cash. And in fact, the team who are stuck there has not even showered for the past 16 to 17 days. And so if things get very difficult for the people who get stuck there. And so I think she was writing the agony and the pain that she was mentioning in the letter. That's how she experienced. And so, generally, we can share her experience. But here in Kathmandu, we have better facilities compared to Nukla. We are also surviving with whatever we have.
So, can we talk then about, you guys, how are you holding up? How did you end up, in Kathmandu?
Okay, that's a good question. Actually, what happened is that once we finished trekking and once we, there's a place called Gorakshar where it's very near Everest Base Camp. So once we reached there, one of my team member had hypothermia and another of my team member, Daniel, who's sitting right beside me, he had AMS, altitude mountain sickness. So what happened is that because of all this sickness, I think 5 hours decided to evacuate to an emergency evacuation. So that's how we took a helicopter and we ended up in Kathmandu. And so we actually came earlier compared to our other team members who were actually doing okay and all right and still fit to hike down. And also what happened is that given the situation that's happening, all of us decided to come down earlier. So in fact, we are already ahead of our schedule and we are already down here earlier compared to what we are scheduled for, because we want to get back to Kathmandu as much as early as possible. So that's how we actually got separated. We came down earlier because due to sickness, and they were actually coming down by foot. And they were actually, they took 3 days in total, if I'm not mistaken, to come down from on top to up to Nukla. And it was pretty grueling, and because of the snow, the weather, and, it was going to minus, it can get to minus double digit at night. And so it's really not easy for them to be surviving at this current point of time, yeah.
And Daniel, how are you?
I'm doing fine here right now at this moment. So I'm still trying to cope, the situation here.
Mm-hmm.
So waiting for also news from the Malaysian embassy, updates from them, what are the next steps and all that. Yeah.
How did you both feel when you realized that for the time being, at least, you were stuck in Nepal?
Okay, for us, I think for the time being, initially, we were actually very clueless on how are we going to feel, Because once we came back to Kathmandu and we found out about this lockdown, our flights were cancelled, we were clueless on who to go to, what to do in the beginning. So, of course, as what we have, as a basic thing, we ended up in the embassy. So the embassy decided, took our details, and we filled up the form and we reported ourselves. And then they suggested us to go to the airlines. And then we went to the airlines and, to find out when is our next flight. So given the lockdown in Malaysia that was happening at that time, and, flights were cancelled. There were no updates on the next available earliest flight. So there were a lot of uncertainties, and we were actually very clueless. So despite that, what happened is that, we were scheduled with the earliest flight available, which is currently, for my particular flight, it's 15th of April. That was what's scheduled. However, it's still uncertain because, news are coming every day. There's different news coming every day and anything can change. And so it was really clueless in the beginning on terms of how we're going to go ahead and do things.
How actually is the lockdown going in Nepal? I mean, I think here in Malaysia, a lot of us have acclimatized ourselves to the movement control order, but what is it actually like in Nepal at the moment? Can you actually get things like food? Are you able to, do you guys have lodging?
Yes. The lockdown here is pretty strict. So we can go out to walk on the street, but it actually very, very limited shops are open. So we are also practicing social distancing when we are trying to find for basic necessities. So example, like a few days ago, when I was admitted to hospital due to epigastric, so I was waiting for the report from the doctor, but the doctor could not travel because due to the lockdown, the strict lockdown here, so it was delayed. So, and then therefore I admitted longer than what was expected, you know. But we also currently, we're still surviving what we have, and then we are running out of also of basic necessities. You know, the hotels currently you are staying also are running out of supplies. They are trying to cook for us whatever they can,
How accessible has the Malaysian embassy been through all of this? I mean, especially in terms of advice as well as assistance.
Sorry, would you mind repeating that, please?
How accessible has the Malaysian embassy been in all of this? Because I'm hearing you guys talking. You mentioned earlier, Ravi, a sense of cluelessness, and then now with you guys saying that that. Certain issues, I suppose, with worrying about supplies, I guess, you know, what has the Malaysian embassy been like? Have they been good about advising you or giving you updates as well as offering help?
Yeah, I think initially, you know, like what I've said, we were clueless and everything, right? Being in our situation at the moment, right, we want fast answers so that we know what would be our next move. And so we are trying to source out for information from every other angle, from other people, or whatever possible means that we could, we are trying to source out information. And of course, embassy is one of them. You know, initially, yes, we were not getting a fast response from the party or from the embassy. However, having said that, you know, the embassy have definitely taken action in terms of giving information or updates or necessary updates for us to, you know, get ourselves prepared. And so right now, you know, the embassy have actually created a WhatsApp group for all stranded Malaysians here in Nepal. So we are all connected via the WhatsApp already. And so the embassy has been giving us update and in fact, yesterday, what they did, they actually visited all of us personally, you know, and to share their concerns, to give us an update on what they are doing, what is the current update, you know, in terms of what they've done and all those things. So despite all those, I mean, on top of all those things, I would like to also mention and think one particular board that has been very helpful also is that the local Nepalese tourism board. They have been really helpful in terms of organizing all the stranded foreigners here in Nepal, getting all of us together, giving us information, or even, you know, suggesting us where to get groceries, if there's any free food available, and they are also helping in terms of liaising with embassies to get permits for emergency evacuations and everything. So I would like to take this opportunity to actually thank the Nepali Tourism Board as well to help us, to help not only Malaysians, but all the other stranded people in Nepal as well.
Wonderful. And what's next then? I mean, in all of this and in the midst of all this uncertainty, I guess, what is the next step?
I think the next step is definitely, I think for us personally, is to find out accommodation, food service, food facilities, and most importantly, medical facilities. And I'm talking this on behalf of people who are stuck in Lukla. Like what I've mentioned there is, the medical facilities there is not up to date. And in fact, one of my teammates, She's also a doctor. You know, she's running out of medicine. And I think some of them are actually falling sick already due to the weather and the hygiene there. And so the medical facilities are running out. So right now, our main priority is to actually bring them down to Kathmandu, which currently I think the Malaysian embassy is working together with the Nepal aviation, if I'm not mistaken, to get the permit to get them evacuated from Lukla. But having said that, also finance is a big challenge, because as of the latest update, you know, even if we get the emergency evacuation, the charges that we have to bear, you know, and it's not actually that cheap, because it's, for an example, you know, if you want to evacuate via a helicopter, it costs about $2,000 for the entire chopper, and about 4 to 5 people can share that chopper, and that's how expensive it gets. So this is what the government is helping us to get the permit to fly out of Lukla. But our finance is also a big question mark, you know, because sometimes here we have limited finances here, and we have to survive don't know for how long. And asking from our families back home, for some of us, you know, it's very difficult, because even our families are having financial difficulties at this moment of time. And everything is very uncertain. So these are the kind of things that we are actually happening actually currently.
And we have just a little bit of time left, about 30 seconds. Is there any way that people can help at this moment? Or what would you like to say just to kind of conclude everything?
I think what I would like to say is, first of all, I would like to thank everyone who has offered their help to our current situation. And I would like to thank you. From bottom, I would like to see, on behalf of everyone, I would like to thank from the bottom of our heart. And despite the help that we have been getting, one thing I would like to also mention is that we have also gotten some backlashes, you know, some negative comments via social media. And all I would like to say is that, you know, we have planned everything, and every approval that we need to get to come to this country to do whatever we need to do, we have gotten. But unfortunately, there were a lot of, you know, the event turned around the other way. So right now we are stuck here, you know, and I think as Malaysians, you know, if we can help each other, that will be the best thing at the moment. And we are doing our part in terms of quarantining ourselves here, you know, maintaining the social distancing, whatever, to make sure the virus is not spreading. And people in back home, you know, I would like to advise the same thing as well. Stay at home so that we can help to flatten the curve. And ultimately, I think the best thing is, you know, we are waiting to get back to our home country and meet our loved ones.
Ravi, Daniel, thank you so much and good luck.
Thank you so much for having us and giving this chance.
That was Ravi Joseph and Daniel Pang speaking to us from Kathmandu, two of the 34 Malaysians currently in Nepal awaiting repatriation back to Malaysia. We're going to head to the news. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.